Paul starts talking about how the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. That this physical body can't take on the imperishable. Okay, so, but in order to do that, before we talk about the flesh, we need to talk about the spirit. And where does the spirit start? Where does this transformation begin with Jesus Christ? And so, what I wanted to do is start out in John 3, and we all know John 3:16. Most of us know it by heart. But actually, last night I was looking over this, and I kind of got called to start out in the first verse. So we'll start out in verse 1, John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that comes from God. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is it with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is a big mystery. Brother Tom was talking about this morning how there's various of opinions and people that don't believe that Christ sinned. I can assure you here and now, Jesus Christ never sinned. He is perfect, okay? And he was God in the flesh that came down to save us. And it had to be a spotless lamb that was put on Calvary to bring us to salvation. When Adam sinned the first time, it created, Adam and Eve sinned the first time in the Garden of Eden, it created a chasm that separated God and man. And think about this for a minute. God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. What a wonderful relationship. Think about this. The Creator of all the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, walked with man. He enjoyed this relationship, and sin separated us from that relationship. But on that, right after that happened, prophecy was said, and it talked about Jesus, that the heel of Jesus Christ would crush the head of the serpent. That would cause us a bruise on the heel. And praise God, with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, coming down, being a perfect, righteous God in the flesh, brought us together and created a bridge between us and the Father. So now we can walk in the cool of the day. We can sit and pray with God and look into His Scriptures, and He can speak to us. And people today also, if you took a statistic, does God speak to man today? I would say probably a majority of people would say that's not true. I can tell you here and now that He does talk today. He does talk to you. You're His children. You're His family. You belong to Him. Does your mother and your father talk to you? Absolutely. That's His relationship with you. He created you to have that relationship. So in this message, keeping the end in mind, we got to look to where it starts before we can get to the end. The path of everlasting life starts with Jesus, and it starts here and now. So when we go down a little further, Nicodemus... Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and bear witness to that which we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has ascended from heaven, the Son of Man."
and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. And then here's the one that we know so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now 17, which we don't traditionally memorize like we do John 3:16, I feel is just as important. And for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So that part of the Scripture, and even I had to look down to reference it, I should know that by heart. Shame on me as a Christian, because that is the whole... He is the Word. He is the commitment. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. And it is not the fact that He's come here to point fingers or to say, you're bad. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner. I sin every day. Okay? I'm here and I just pray the Lord just uses me today to be His servant. So with that, I'd like to just enter into a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you just take over this message, and you're the head of this body. You're our shepherd. You're our healer. You're our Savior. And Jehovah Jireh, you're our provider. And I also ask that you provide me with the right words, Lord God, for these people. You know what's going on in their lives. You know what's happening inside this church body. And I just give this message over to you. I ask you to speak, Lord God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And fill us all with your Holy Spirit, and just tug on our hearts where we need to work on our relationship with you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. It says we move to John 15, if you'd turn with me there. It'll be John 15, 9 through 17. I love the sound of that. Praise God. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Part of the transformation with Christ in this spiritual walk that we start, the starting line. When you think of a runner, he starts at the starting line. Well, what's in his mind? Crossing the finish line, right? But he has to start at a specific place. So we have to reset our minds as Christians constantly. Paul said, I die daily, okay? You have to reset yourself and think all over again, because things of this world get in our way in our relationship with Christ. So we have to reset and then abide in His love, abide in His understanding, see the world through His eyes. But if we don't reset ourselves every day, even the very elect can be fooled. The Bible speaks on that. That's what Tom, when he was referencing those, I was so amazed that God put that on his heart to reference today. Those people that he mentioned in the statistics are not abiding in the love of God. I'm going to tell you right now. Because if they did, they'd know that Jesus never sinned. They'd know that He is the only path to salvation is Jesus Christ. They'd know that. Because through this relationship, I can tell you when I just even think about my Savior and how much He means to me, I can tell you that He is the only path. I mean, I just think about how precious He is, and it starts tugging at my heart immediately. That's a true relationship. And I'm not perfect. I'm so far from it. He's got a lot of work to do on me. Thank God that, you know, He's willing to do it. But every time I think of my Lord and Savior, it starts to wrench at my heart. How much I love Him and how much He means to me, and how many times that I've gone through times where I didn't know if I was going to make it, but then I just look to Him and I do. He says, fear not. Well, you can't hear Him unless you're abiding in Him. So, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I think the International Version says your joy may be complete. It wraps you. Some of you have heard my testimony when I was sitting in Discovery Community Church in Mesa, and I was sitting there and I was going through a transition between two jobs, and I wasn't making much money yet. In fact, I wasn't making hardly anything. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. Didn't know how I was going to even feed myself, to be honest with you. This is where I was at. I opened up my wallet, and I had $47 left in my wallet. And here comes the offering plate. Well, I'm thinking, you know, $2. You know what I'm saying? I'll spare $2. And this voice, you know, God speaks to his children, praise God. This voice came to my heart and said, "Do you trust me?" Here comes the offering plate. It's right behind me. Coming up on me now. "Yes, Lord, I trust you." It's my response. "How much?" I took $47 and I threw it in the offering plate. Nothing left. I have nothing left. I'm going to feed myself. But I trust him more than I trust that money that was sitting in my wallet. As somebody said to me when I shared that testimony with him, it's not to say I'm so good, because I'm not. I'm not good. He is good. It was him kicking me in the pants enough to do that, I'll be honest with you. And so when I did that, though, I was saying I was all in. I believe he knew my choice before I even made it. See, he's all in all. The Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. But a funny thing happened. I get up after church, and a gentleman comes over to me, and he says, "Hey, want to go to lunch with me?" And I go, "Sure, I'm buying." Nobody's ever asked me out to lunch in that church. And all of a sudden, now I throw it all in, and now somebody asks me. Well, coincidence? I say not. That's God, right? So, takes me out to lunch, and I go to lunch and eat, and I'm saying, praise God, I'm thanking him for it, because I know where that blessing came from. Well, I go to my mailbox the next day, and there's a $200 check in my mailbox. See, he had it all lined up. He knew what choice I was going to make. He just wanted to, that step of faith and that trusting in him and moving past what we would think is human mindset would say, that doesn't make sense. See, it is a mystery. And Paul talks about, and we'll touch on that in the end, I share with you a mystery. The mystery is we do things that don't make sense as Christians because we trust him more than we trust this world, this life. But that in itself is a sacrifice to him. That in itself moves you beyond and starts to begin this transformation into a walk and an abiding in Christ, versus abiding in yourself and abiding in this world. Let him take the wheel. We all love that song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." And it's funny, but I praise God for that rough time that I was going through. Another time I was called to minister to it's a nursing home that has it's a four-story nursing home. They had a chapel there. And I was called to minister into this, help out the pastor that was doing it, and sometimes I'd fill in. And I'm driving down the road, and all I had was a motorcycle down in Mesa, Arizona. And how often does it rain down there? You know, not often, right? Well, I get out of church, hop on the bike, start driving down the road, and here comes the rain. I am drenched, and I got to be there to minister. But most people go, "Oh, man, you know, this is awful. Look at this. I mean, you know, this just terrible situation." I started praising God on the motorcycle. Now, does that make sense? Here, it's pouring down rain, pelting me in the face. I'm going down Highway 60 at 70 miles an hour, and it's feeling like bullets hitting my... And I'm praising the Lord. That doesn't make sense. But I believe that that was something stepping out in faith and knowing that God had control. I got home, it still was pouring. I'm at my apartment, and it's still pouring down rain, and I go ahead, well, I'm going to, you know, jump in the shower and clean off and then get dressed again, you know, into some dry clothes and get ready to go just in case. Well, you know, the moment I had to leave, the rain stopped. And then I drive over there, and the people that are in this ministry, there's about five of us, "Are you crazy? Did you see the weather forecast? What are you driving over here for? You shouldn't drive your motorcycle in this." Again, it doesn't make sense. But I trust in God. We go in and we do the ministry with the people, and I'll tell you, that's just a wonderful ministry to be in. They love you more than you could love them. They're more of a blessing to you than you could be to them. Well, walk out, and one of the people that does ministry, that very person that told me, she said, "You're crazy for driving over here." It does.
the sun was shining out through the clouds. And you know what she said? Look what God did for you. She recognized that. I'm going to tell you, as Christian brothers and sisters, God will part. He parted the sea for His people coming out of Egypt. He will. He'll move every circumstance out of your way when you need it. But you know what? Leading up to that circumstance, you're going to come to that sea. The rain's going to fall down on you. You're going to be out of money sometimes. But don't fret. Fear not, for I'm with you. So that starts the beginning of the relationship with Jesus, is abiding in Him. Verse 12, this is my commandment. This is the next step of the relationship with Jesus Christ, is that you love one another as I've loved you. No greater love than this, than someone that would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know the master's doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask in the Father's name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. First of all, that your fruit may abide. I want to pull that out. Love one another, and that you should bear fruit. It takes action. Talking with people, sharing the love of Christ, sharing, just sometimes it's just a smile and opening the door and just being kind to somebody and saying, what's different about you? How come our brother comes up here and he's so excited to praise the Lord? Well, he's got a lot of energy. He's excited because he has a relationship with Jesus Christ. What's different? So first abiding in Him and then bearing fruit. Well, the fruit my brother has is that God's given him a spirit like David has. And that's to sing and to worship. And I'll tell you, this praise and worship team, I look across and it blesses me so much. And if we could just take a moment and give a hand to our praise and worship team. You guys are awesome. Every week. They're bearing fruit. And that your fruit may abide. So when you're talking with somebody and you're planting those seeds, you may not see those seeds sprout up. But when He's appointed you and you're bearing fruit, that fruit will remain. You may not see the fruition of that, or you might not see that tree bear fruit, but it will, I guarantee it, because God doesn't appoint you for no reason. He appoints you for a purpose. But then that you would love one another and that you would obey His command. Bless you. Here's the biggest difference. To begin a true relationship with Jesus Christ, it goes from intellectual faith, which is thinking, I believe in Jesus Christ. Many of those people you mentioned in that statistic believe that Christ exists. In fact, many faiths even call Him a prophet. Many people, I was speaking with somebody that's of the Orthodox Jewish faith, and God bless him, I love him to death. But they think that, oh, he was a wise man. He was a prophet. No, he was Jesus Christ. He's Son of the living God. He lives in me. I abide in Him. But they can't understand that. That's the mystery. But they believe that He exists. Some Christians believe He died on the cross for my sins. Now, that's an intellectual faith. Is up here. A mindset of knowing that Jesus exists, or even taking it a step further and knowing that He died on the cross. But a relationship faith, when you abide in Him and He abides in you and you're bearing fruit and He appoints you to do His ministry, however small or large it may be, and you devote yourself to Him, and that you read the Word in the morning. Another statistic that you mentioned, Tom, is how often that they read the Word. You have to read the Word and develop a relationship, not just know it, but develop a relationship and meditate on it to make a difference between an intellectual faith and a relationship faith. Something that I didn't plan on covering this morning, but I would like to, if everybody would turn with me to Psalms, the first Psalm,
Very first Psalm, Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is he? He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That kind of sums up this portion. And it puts into perspective the relationship and commitment and meditating on His Word and moving from an intellectual faith and being in a relationship faith where you're planted by that stream of living water, constantly feeding and nourishing you. And then what happens? You abide in fruit. And you abide fruit. God's fruit. And it will abide, just like the Scripture said in John. And not only that, your tree won't wither. And everything that you do will prosper. I was sharing with Tom outside here. I said, he goes, how's work going? Well, you knew where I was at, right, when I started with the company I'm with now. Nothing in my pocket. Today, God has blessed everything that I've touched. I mean, beyond measure. The next quarter, I was number one in Arizona to open up new accounts. For the largest company in the world in what we do, number one in Arizona. Then I was number one in 2010. All of 2010, number one in opening up new accounts. That wasn't me, that was God. Everything that He does will prosper. That's the promise coming to fulfillment. Now comes responsibility, right? Well, I want to kind of... We've done so well, and my wife and I partner up in our business, and she was number one in 2011 in opening up new accounts. Then they promoted us. Now I have a team of 12 full-time agents working with me. Now think of nothing to this. And they are, we've been noticed on the territory level for the Southwest of the United States and also on the national level. And they are asking us, what are you doing different? I can tell you what we're doing different. Right? Praise God. He did it, not me. I know it's He that is special in me that causes those things to happen. Now every measurable category, we took over in June of last year, every measurable category, we are number one in the state. Not just one, but all of them. That's God. He'll do the same for you. But sometimes you have to get down to your last $47 and give it away and then start acting in faith, walking in that relationship with Him. You're not going to be perfect. A righteous man falls how many times? Seven times. Well, if a righteous man fell seven times, how'd he get back up? With the help of Jesus Christ. You're going to fall. But you're going to repent and get back up. You're going to stumble. You're going to sin. We're all sinners. But praise God, our belief and the grace outweighs the sin. Oil and water don't mix. And if we can turn to Corinthians 15:50, and this ties into where we're at with the walkthrough with the letter to the church of Corinthians, and we've been learning so much about. I wanted Pastor Brian to send me the background. He didn't get a chance to. But I don't know if you guys noticed the background to his slides through this series. It says, set apart. And it shows a person being set apart.
You are unusual. You are different. Praise God for it. Be set apart. That's what, before we get to this part, is what the letter to the Corinthians is all about. Don't do the same things you did yesterday. Don't include yourself in the same feasts and festivals that the other folks are doing. They were facing a lot of challenges in the city of Corinth. It was much like America. America has many faiths, many religions represented here, but there's one true faith, and that's the faith that we profess, and that's the faith and the love in Jesus Christ. So, leading up to this, he started to separate flesh from the perishable from the imperishable. Okay? So, verse 50 starts out, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. I can promise you this, church. All will be changed. Whether you believe in Jesus Christ and you have a personal relationship with Him or not, we are all going to a step from this life to the next, and we will all be changed. I will also guarantee you this. Whether we bow now or bow later, all will bow. When He comes through the clouds, you're going to notice it as far as the east is from the west. The entire planet's going to recognize that Jesus Christ has come back. And all will kneel before the Savior of this world. And they're either going to say, oh my gosh, or they're going to say, thank God you've come. You've come to take me back. You've come to change me. You've come to deliver me from this place. All will be changed. But here's the thing. A lot of folks, when they're reading this scripture, they tie it to passages in Revelations with end times prophecy. And I love end times prophecy. I get into all that. I love reading and looking for the signs and things like that. But really what I think about what Paul is trying to communicate here is that we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. There's not going to be time to, oh my gosh, the Bible was right, and to get down on your knees and start praying. The time is gone. You had your chance. Because I waited until everybody on the planet heard about my name. Now, it's time. So what we've got to think of now, keeping the end in mind, is where we're at currently in our relationship, so we're not sorry when He comes, that we're joyful, that we get caught up in a twinkling of an eye and we're changed. I was praying one night, and I was it was very intense prayer, and I fell asleep, and somebody I was telling this about said, that's a vision, you know. Well, I don't know if it's a vision or a dream, but it was beautiful. And as I was praying, I saw, and actually fell asleep, I saw Jesus with His arms out. And I always pictured going into heaven as say, coming up to the great white throne judgment, you know, and giving an account for all the things. But I saw Jesus with His arms out. Eric, you made it. I want to tell you what that did to me. I mean, it shattered my whole understanding. He's my best friend. He calls me brother. He died for me. He loved me that much. And He's got His arms out, and He said, Eric, you made it. And I hugged my Savior. And I just stand there and hug Him. You know, there's that song that says, you know, what it'll be like by Casting Crowns. Probably got the title wrong there. But and I hugged my Savior, and I'm so happy to see Him. I don't love anything any more than I love Jesus. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in this place I want other than to serve Him. And when I hug Him and He lets go and He looks at me And I begin to walk towards heaven. He says, wait. Wait. Turn around. And I turn and look. And he says, look. And I see all these heads. I couldn't see any faces, but I saw the heads. And he said, these are the people that I worked through you to bring to my kingdom. I want to tell you what that means. It gave me different insight and understanding. He appointed you. He appointed you. You're the extent of his arms. When you hug somebody, when you love somebody, when you share Jesus Christ, you are the extent of Jesus. You carry his words on your heart. You carry his love. You carry his healing power. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It can't be just here. It's got to be here and there. We've got to reach out to these people. We've got to bring them home. I think of the people that even I've missed the opportunity. But see, here's the thing. God, if you abide in Him and He abides in you and you're focused on the prayers and the Scriptures and that relationship with Him, He will bring you to a place where He is working through you and in you, and you're bearing that fruit that He talks about. I can't wait to see Him, but I want to bring as many brothers and sisters with me. Praise God. Let's see where I'm at here. Sorry, I got... Sin and death are a mere shadow to those who have a relationship with Christ Jesus. And this touches on that. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then it shall come to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before Jesus came and died on the cross for us, death hurt for people that believed in God. Death was something that you had to fear. What's going to happen? And for people that don't know God or don't know Christ, they have no clue. They walk around and I really feel sorry for people that say they have no faith. Because first of all, they don't have the relationship that I've gotten to know Jesus in the way that I have as a friend and as a brother and as a Savior, most importantly. But they don't know what's going to happen when they die. Just vaporize. I've got to get as much done as I can before I die. And sin had a hold on us. But the moment that Jesus said, it is finished on that cross, sin no longer had a hold on us, brothers and sisters. Sin no longer was a weight. That weight was lifted instantaneously, and that was throughout time. Then when He rose on the third day, here comes the victory. See, the Sadducees didn't believe that resurrection actually happened in that time. They had no concept of it. Again, it was a mystery to them, as much as it is to non-believers today. But I can assure you, it's historical fact. I think Pastor mentioned it last week. There's historical records that had people that actually rose from the dead the day that Jesus rose. Things happened that didn't normally happen. Something was going on. The people that were around the cross when He died recognized He must be the Son of God. What did we do? So in that moment, death turned into a shadow. When we pass from this life to the next, it's going to be a joyous occasion. When we walk and we see Jesus and He embraces you and He says, you're home, you've made it, it's a joyful occasion, not something to fear. We're reunited with Him. I was at the Langenfelter Center. Our father is there. And
My dad's there, I should say. I go in there to visit him, and there's this guy with Parkinson's disease, and I visit him pretty much every week, and I just love him, and he brightens up and he smiles when he sees me, and I go over and I talk with him. He's a believer, and he has stooped over and he's lost control of his tongue and things like that, so he you know, slobbers a little bit. And but I sat down next to him, and I've been praying for him, and I sat down next to him a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, brother, won't it be great when we sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb? I'm going to walk with you on streets of gold, brother. We're going to dance. And you know what he did? He's crouched over like this. His back started to straighten. His tongue went in his mouth. Just over the joy of looking past the current pain that he's in and sitting down at the table with me and, more importantly, Jesus Christ in that celebration and dancing on streets of gold. Do you know that when you share that with somebody, they actually can see that, especially in that condition? Praise God. So when I'm sitting there thinking, man, why isn't this guy getting healed? I'm praying for him. I know, Lord, that you heal people. It's not up to me on this. But by sharing the joy and the experience and the love of Christ, his back started to straighten. He smiled. His tongue went back in the mouth and stopped slobbering. It was a beautiful sight. One of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen. A human just almost transformed before your eyes just on the mere thought of sitting down with Jesus Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's a beautiful thing. Now, keep an end in mind. Paul's going to talk about how it won't be easy, but it'll definitely be worth it. And so, 1558, 1 Corinthians 1558, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So what Paul's kind of telling you here is that, you know, it's going to be hard. People are going to make fun of you. Jesus said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. You can expect this. He gave you a heads up, okay? It's going to happen. But praise God that it's happening. Why? Because you're on the right side of the fence. If you're not in the fight, Satan ain't worried about you. You're not a threat. I can tell you, just leading up to this message, I went and prayed with my brother upstairs. And I said, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, Tom, but like when you have a communion message and you're meditating, you're about to deliver something, the devil's at work. That statistic about the devil not being around, I'm going to tell you, he's around. I get bad. Leading up to this, I was going through so much mental turmoil up here. It was crazy. I mean, just different things that were hitting me. And he will hit you from all sides. Especially when he knows he can see. I truly believe this. When the Lord's working in your life, the darkness can see the light. He can see that God is working on you. How couldn't he? He's darkness. God's light. It's contrast. So obviously he sees. When the Lord, and we can't see the angels necessarily walking around us and things like that when we pray. And, you know, where Jesus, when he prayed, the angels actually gave him strength, right, from heaven. We can't see that, but it's happening. But I guarantee you, he can. The other guy can see it. So it's a battle. Paul said our battle is not in the flesh, and I don't want to subphrasing a little bit, but it's against spirits and principalities and heavenly realms. Okay, there is dark forces that are fighting against us. You have to be aware of this. You have to be cognizant of it. You have to be awakened to that understanding. So understand that these things that are happening to you, think about what Job went through. All the turmoil and things, both physical, mental, and everything else that he went through. Who started all that? Satan did. Because God said, hey, look at Job, you know, at all the earth, he's one of my most faithful guys. Look at him, he's, you know, a righteous man. Oh, let me test them. You're going to go through tests and trials and tribulations. But praise God, because if you're not, he ain't worried about you. You're not a threat.
So when you're going through those things, those difficulties, those challenges, those tough relationships, somebody just keeps at work, keeps giving you a hard time, pushes you around, makes you feel less than what you are. Hey, praise God through all that. Because you know what? I'm not subject to man. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm now subject to Him, to Jesus Christ. He's my Master. He's my Savior. He's my boss. Now, you don't want to disrespect these people and be nasty because that's not Christian life. But I was talking with a fellow brother and he says, man, my coworkers, they're tough. They're just, you know, they make fun of me. They push me around because I think it's because I'm a Christian. You're darn right it's because you're a Christian. We're the minority. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's right. It's not going to be everybody on the planet or half the planet that goes to heaven. It's a very select few. Narrow is the path. Right? So, and I mean, we know this. We just have to keep it in mind and be cognizant. So, it will be hard, but I can guarantee you that it will be worth it. When you and I see you, brother, when we walk together into the kingdom of heaven, I see you there, and we sit down at the table and we have the marriage supper. That, to me, is the most important fact. You know, a lot of people dream about heaven, and they talk about how, you know, there's going to be these big mansions, and there's going to be this wonderful thing, and I'm going to have a palace, or this, that, and the other thing. You know what? I don't care if I'm a janitor up there. Straight up. I'm going to tell you, and God, you can hold me to that. I'd rather just be a servant in His house, a servant, a lowly servant, just doing His bidding. I don't need anything. I just want to be with Him. I just want to be by Him. I just want to feel the love and the light of Jesus. We don't need a sun up there. You know why? Because His light's going to shine throughout heaven. There's no more crying, no more disease, no more worrying about the darkness because the darkness is taken care of and locked up forever. That's where that goes. I'm going up. In a twinkling of an eye, in a moment's notice, I'm ready. And I'm going to tell you, with these signs, with some of the statistics that he shared this morning, it's happening, it's going to happen soon. Does it happen in my lifetime? I don't know. I don't really care. People talk about rapturing pre, mid, or post tribulation, right? You got it, sister? You know what? I believe in pan-tribulation. Anybody know what that is? It'll all pan out in the end. Praise God. I ain't got to worry about all that, you know? So, it's all up to Him. If we got to go through it, we go through it. I got God. Who do I have to fear when I got God on my side? I'm going to go before you, He said, and I'm going to be your rear guard. He is my strong power. The righteous run into Him and they are saved. Praise God. What do you have to worry about? Yeah, it's going to be hard. When you see our brothers going into battle with, you know, being a Marine, he's taking a big step of faith. Praise God for his service. Is it tough to be a Marine? Tammy? Yes, it is. She's a Marine. She's always a Marine. That's it. So, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be tough. But he's willing to do it because he believes in his country. Because he feels that he's part of something bigger. And when it comes to the faith, we're in battle. Every day. Get up. Hold your head high. You work for the Lord God Almighty. You are His servant. Is He going to take care of you? Yes, He is. I guarantee it. Are you going to go through trials and tribulations like the prophets did? Like the ministers do every single day. Yes, you are a minister. Pick your chin up. Put your shoulders back. You're in the army of the Lord, praise God. You got a mission. So my question is to you is, where are you at right now in your faith with Jesus? What will it look like when you face Jesus? Is He going to say, hey, I'm glad you're home. You've made it. Or is He going to say, depart from me, I've never known you. Hey, but I did all these things in your name and I told people about you. The Bible warns us of that. We can't fall away. It's going to be harder now than it ever has been before. Do you know of him from an intellectual standpoint? Believe he exists? Or do you know him? The biggest thing, if anything, I want this to cause you to think. One of the things that I've been trying to do on these handy gizmos that they got coming out now is put it in my calendar, my time with the Lord. Calendar, make it important. Until it becomes a habit. You do anything 10 times, it becomes a habit. In a row. You got to do it in a row. Don't miss a day. All right? Please, seek God's face in the morning when you wake up. Spend some time with Him. Then before you go to bed, of course, well, man, I'm praying all day. I'm praying in the morning. I'm praying before I eat. I pray before I go to sleep. Praise God. You're arming up. But we need to read the Word every day, but not just know the Word, live the Word, and let it take a part in your being. Let Him fill you up with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, even the deep things of God. Let it fill your very presence. And I can promise you this, in everything that you do, His face will shine upon you. They will see Jesus. If you do that, they will see Jesus. I was walking down a hallway. I'm at 11 o'clock. I'm walking down a hallway in a church down in Mesa. And I'm walking next to this lady, and it was like I was lockstep with her. And I turned to her, and she looked at me, and she just started to cry. And I hugged her. And you know what she said to me? She said, I feel that Jesus is hugging me right now. Who am I to be? That He would choose me for that moment. I don't know what she's going through, but Jesus does. So if you let the Word abide in you, you're not going to be perfect, but you will be saved, you will be sanctified, and you will abide in Him, and He will abide in you, and your fruit will abide as well that He produces with you. So if we could just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord God, for this day and this congregation. I thank You for what each person here means to me as a part of the body of Christ. Help us to find where we need to be in this body, Lord God. Help us to chip in this ministry, Lord God, so that we can be the hands, the feet, the voice, the legs, even the pinky toe, Lord God. Every part's important, and we just ask that You help us find that. Help us to know You, Lord God. Put it as seeds in their hearts, in our hearts, Lord, as a congregation, to seek You out on a daily basis, to be transformed, to move from this life to the next in a joyful relationship with You, Lord God. And I just thank You, Lord Jesus. And we can keep all the eyes bowed and the eyes closed and the heads bowed. Is there anybody here today that would like prayer for their relationship with Christ? Lift your hand up. Is there anybody here that just needs to move their relationship? Thank you. Anybody? Thank you. Just need an adjustment in my faith. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord God, for those who lifted their hands, I just ask a special blessing to be upon them, Lord God, that You would lead and guide them as their shepherd and help them to get back into the fold, Lord God, or even if it's just a small course correction in their lives, Lord God, just a focusing on You, I just ask that would happen, Lord God, for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.